I wanted to first just give a little bit of history about myself. My dad was in the military, so we traveled around a little bit until 1968, and we settled in his hometown of Cullman, Alabama. So we moved from Delaware back to Cullman, and I was raised there. I went to high school there and then college at Auburn for 2 years and graduated from UAB as a nurse. I then got married 1987 to Ellis, and we had 3 kids. My daughter just got married last year. I have a wonderful son-in-law, and I have 2 boys, and my youngest is graduating, and they're going to both be at Alabama this fall. So in theory, I'm going to be an empty nester. We'll see how that works out. It's been rather busy up until now. I've been a member at Covenant for 4 years, but I've been a part of this church. My boys went to preschool here, and I checked out the Bible studies on Tuesdays because I was a member of First Baptist at that time, and we didn't have any ladies' Bible studies. I walked in cold to Divine Design 17 years ago, and I've stayed all this time. And I will say, it's been multiple ways the church has ministered to my family and I through the preschool program and through the Bible studies long before we joined the church. Another thing I wanted to share about myself is that I'm kind of an avid nature lover. I think you could call me a tree hugger at heart. Mm-hmm. Growing up in Cullman was just very beautiful and picturesque, and we live here in Homewood, and I was so thankful to be able to settle in Homewood and have just all this nature around me. And I wanted to just kind of share something. I often go out in my backyard to pray or just to meditate, and this is a picture of a pecan tree, nothing special in my yard, but we had those in my yard in Cullman growing up, and so it's always been a fond thing for me to sit there and just admire how large it is, magnificent, the beauty. This is a picture underneath the pecan tree, and I think what I wanted to point out here was just the branches. They're so unique. They turn from left to right. They twist around. I've always wondered, you know, what caused this tree to change its branches so dramatically? They all ended up pointing up to the sun, though, eventually, and made this beautiful canopy. And it, as I sat there and looked at it, I thought about my life. It seems like in the past, when I've had to make an abrupt change from the right or the left in my life, I often thought, God, I've messed up. Why do I have to change directions? I must have messed up. And it felt like the Lord was just saying, look at the beauty of this tree. We all have these branches in our life where we turn from the left or the right. And I believe that was God's plan all along when I was quick to say, oh no, here I go to the right or the left. The other photo I wanted to share was one that kind of includes the tree trunk. If you look, there's a long linear hole here. It looks like a lightning strike. Some kind of impact happened to this tree. I guess you could call it a wound that it recovered from and went on to thrive. And it caused me to think a little bit about all of us, I think, can identify with a wound that we've had from our past, an event that just impacted us, traumatized us like this tree. And that's what I wanted to share tonight was a wound or an event that happened to me. When my dad was still in the military and I was 3 years old, he got sent to Vietnam for 18 months. And I had 2 older siblings and a younger brother. So by the time there were 4 kids in the house, he had stepped up and started doing bedtime routine and helping my mom so much more than he was able to do with the first two. And my brother was younger than I, and we didn't really understand a lot of what was going on. My brother used to run up to other military men while he was gone crying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. He thought he'd finally come home. And thankfully, he did come home 18 months later. But at that point, you know, we had moved on. Mom was doing the routine, and I can remember stories of her telling how upset I was with my dad. I think I was just really angry at him for leaving, even though I was only 4 at that time. He got busy working and supporting his family, and we just never quite connected again at the level that we were at when I was a young child. He was very gifted with his hands. He was able to do a lot of things, and he was a wonderful provider to his family. So he tended, like so many men from that generation, to focus on that gift of what he could bring to his family. Looking back, I think that left me, though, with a wound of abandonment, that he had left me. I couldn't count on him. He just was home one day and gone the next. And I tried to process that through my mind as a child. It actually came about to where I started blaming myself somewhat for him leaving. And I think this is so common when you read books about how kids cope with traumatic things or change. They tend to blame themselves for what happened because that gives you a sense of control. Well, if I cause this, then I can keep this from happening again and I won't be in a painful situation. It's just typical childhood theology of how we move forward and deal with things. I love my dad a lot. He loved us so much and provided for us. But I think that kind of set up a situation in my life where I felt a little bit lesser than, and I was critical of myself because I'd started taking on this concept that I can be good, people will like me, and they won't leave. Kind of carried this image, though, on into all my relationships. When I got married and Ellis had to leave or work late or didn't want to do the same things I want to do, I felt kind of wounded. I kind of felt abandoned by him. And ironically, he's an attorney. So the guy does conflict for a living. And I'm not a conflict person. I'm a peace lover. So I would get my feelings hurt. He wouldn't know what was wrong. We wouldn't get to the bottom of it. And it really caused a lot of stress in our marriage, just being such different people, raised with such different kind of background experiences. Well, along about that time, 12 years into our marriage, I came to Divine Design Bible Study, and it seemed like that was the one thing God was waiting to touch on for me, was these issues that were cropping up in my marriage that at the time I didn't even realize went back to this event with my dad going to war. I kept telling Kathy as I got to know her in Bible study, I'm like, my parents aren't divorced. I don't know why I feel like they've abandoned me or my dad's abandoned me. One of the first scriptures she shared with me was Hebrews 13:5, and the B part of that, the second part of that is that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I could just remember your integrity was sharing that with me. And I thought, gosh, she really believes that. She really believes God will never leave you or forsake you. And I kind of adopted the same perspective I had with my dad onto God. And I was so impressed that all of the leadership believed this because I had a lot of life experiences that I didn't think proved to me that God was faithful and would never leave me or abandon me. I had this overriding fear of being left. As I shared with them and participated in the group, we break out in small groups, so you have opportunity to have prayer, and because of the topic that's being taught, it gives you many opportunities to share your fears. So one thing she mentioned to me too that first year is that did she think that I might have a bondage to fear? And I can remember thinking, that is so odd. I was so proud of my fear and that I weighed everything out and looked for the other shoe to drop. My mom was a nurse. I was a nurse. I worked at Children's Hospital, and I saw a lot of things that I felt like, well, if you pay attention and you do a good job and you do all these things right, you can keep your kids from getting hurt and everybody else. They even had a message that if you got put on hold, they would say, you too can prevent accidents. And then they would go into how many children drown every year. How many children drown in mop water? So you're just like, I'm going to chain my kid to the sofa. You know, there's had a lot of good reason, I thought, to be worried about stuff. So I thought that was kind of ironic. Yeah, that's exactly. They've updated it. Well, it kind of keeps you from letting your children try new things, you know, when you've heard that tape run over and over. Another thing we did at Divine Design each year is we looked at the names of God and trying to take in deeper what God's characteristics are. And my favorite one just stood out right away, and that was the God Most High, that He was sovereign, strong, and in control. And I thought, okay, if that's how God really is, maybe I don't have to be so worried all the time, so fearful of what's going to happen. Maybe there's somebody looking out for us. So I began focusing on that and trying to embrace that truth, that that's what the Bible was telling me was a characteristic about God. I really felt like that gave me some hope. Another thing was just all the broken relationships in my life. Could God really be sovereign on those and going to be doing something good with what still looked like a lot of times it was unraveling? There was a scripture, too, that jumped out of me that as we went over this each year was the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I thought, what in the world does that mean? Are we to be afraid of God like we used to fear evil? And I really didn't understand that till I was given the gift of some time trying that on. And I realized God is not a taskmaster. I would reject Him. I would make mistakes. And I was always experiencing His grace, inviting me back in, or being gracious to me when I didn't ask for something. He would bring in abundance. He started blessing my marriage was the first thing I started experiencing a change in when I got into Bible study and I had a group of women coming behind me and praying with me and encouraging me and sharing their journey and how they struggled, that it wasn't just me. It was very, very, I don't know, I just never had friends that we could be vulnerable with and didn't have to put, you know, our strong foot forward all the time. So I saw God just really building trust in me. One theologian said that fear of the Lord is reverential trust, and that's been my experience, that God is sovereign, He's good, and He's trustworthy. I wanted to kind of mentioned along that time that my dad, who had retired in his late 70s, got diagnosed with Parkinson's. And he was fairly far along with the disease before he got diagnosed, so he couldn't do the things he liked to do, working with his hands and creating things and repairing things. So he began to focus a little bit more on his family, his children and his grandchildren. He had more free time, and God, again, just showed up so graciously when I had not didn't have a history of connection with my dad and just hanging out. He started up bringing up opportunities for us to celebrate my dad's past military experience. They had the Berlin Airlift display come to Birmingham. They even had a child that was in the Berlin Airlift. I don't know if any of you may not know what it was, but there was a blockade and there was a group of people that were going to starve to death, and our military pilots dropped food and resources to these people. And this man speaking was so impressed. He was German. When he grew up, he came to the States, became a citizen, and joined the Air Force. And I was just like, wow. And they had a 4-star general. I mean, it was just all amazing. I felt like it was just giving me opportunities. My dad was very humble and he never talked about the military, to just start praising him for the things that he had done. He started pulling out his scrapbook and showing us other events and things he participated in, which as the disease progressed, it gave us somewhere we could help strengthen Daddy for what he had coming ahead. He didn't even like to wear tennis shoes when his back hurt, much less to think about moving towards a walker or a wheelchair. So by saying, you know what, Dad, you're at war, you're back in the military, you're dealing with something, you know how to be a soldier, and I think that's how you can go forward with this, really helped give us some encouragement. He even got his photograph made again in his uniform. Here he is in his late 70s. He insisted that he wanted his picture made, and I didn't realize how much he needed that to carry him through. I was always really glad to go see my parents and enjoy them, but there was something in the back of my mind, some way I was hoping to connect with him in a way I hadn't before. Just that special time. One Father's Day, my brother David and I got to go up and spend Father's Day with he and my mom. And David had started working with my dad when he was 12. So they had a unique, special relationship. They were both men. So we were all happy that they connected so well. But I can remember David coming in the room and telling me that Dad wanted us to go have coffee with him at the coffee shop after we ate at home. And I said, fine. And then my dad walked in the room a few minutes later, and he said, what kind of coffee can we bring you back? Letting me know that he wanted some time with David. And when I got home, and I just couldn't figure out why that hurt my feelings so bad. I got home and started, had some time to pray over it, and I felt like the Holy Spirit, was convicting me that what I felt was rejected by my dad. And not so much because we didn't go to the coffee shop together, but because he and I never got that unique relationship that he had with my brother David, that we didn't have our thing we could do together. And of course, I'm seeing him aging rapidly, and I'm wanting that kind of connection if I can have it with him. He's really a great guy. I think every little girl wants to be a daddy's girl, as Jane was testifying Sunday, her relationship with her dad. So that's kind of what was missing to me. My love language is quality time, so I think that kind of beefed up the desire and the need. And at this point, I felt like, okay, I've been building trust with the Lord. I've been in this Bible study for years. I'm going to just step out on a limb, and I'm going to ask God if he could fix this. Could you make my dad, make me the apple of my dad's eye, make me have that special connection that we never really had? And I felt like he called me to Exodus 34:14 in the scriptures, and it says, my name is Jealous. And he is a jealous God. And then reading along, he counseled me on the fact that as we become a Christian, we're adopted as Christ's children. He's my Abba Father now. And I think what he was conveying to me was he wasn't going to give me, my dad and I, what I already had with him. And it really penetrated deeply that he would say, no, I'm jealous. I want you to know you're the apple of my eye. And y'all, and looking back on that, my dad didn't have that many more years left. God's infinite. The rest of my years here, I need to know I'm the apple of his eye. Well, I still had that struggle with that old theology I've had since childhood, and I realized, okay, I can't be worthless and responsible for everybody not liking me and take in I'm a favored child of God, and I have everything in heaven available to me. And what helped me, I think, to lay that down finally was the time that had transpired, being in this Bible study and having God show up and show me grace after grace, but also that Jesus was rejected. He knows what that feels like. All of his friends turned away. The other thing about that is when he was on the cross, I wrote down Matthew 27:51, the curtain temple was torn from the top to the bottom. And what really that means is that he's not in the temple anymore. He's out. I can never be apart from him. I can never be left alone or abandoned because of what Jesus did on the cross. The other thing that I think, looking back, that helped the most to lay that down in that season was my friends at Bible study. Just being able to be with a group of women that God kind of brought us together that I would have never chose to be friends with because of different backgrounds, different educations, different giftings. I didn't even go to Covenant. And these women took me in and made me feel accepted, just like Christ tells us we are with him. And I said, everything in the world tells you to put your best foot forward, your strength. And I found a place I could kind of put my crippled foot forward. And, you know, they had areas they were crippled in. It wasn't just me, you know. I wasn't responsible for all of this. And it was just a gradual embracing that, gosh, this is what I think Bill's talking about with gospel hospitality, that I was taken in and accepted and loved, and it really made a difference in me changing from that wound state and just believing that Christ was there for me. Well, 4 years after that coffee event with my dad, and we got down to the last days of my dad's disease with the Parkinson's. 2 weeks, he had been at home and had sitters, and the last 2 weeks he was in the nursing home being cared for. He got to where he could only whisper, and there wasn't a lot of communication. He and I both loved Elvis Presley, so I played Elvis Presley's gospel music in the background, because I don't, if anybody's been to the nursing home, there's not a lot of music going on. So it was able to, we were able to talk, hear spiritual things, and the praise music really brought me a lot of comfort that I didn't know if Dad was worried about passing or not. He wouldn't say a lot. 4 or 5 days into this event where he's not eating and drinking, he had the nurses call us and ask us where we were one morning. Oh, it was so neat. He had his voice back. He was energetic, and he said, I want to know where y'all are and when you're coming to see me. So we all, I hadn't planned on coming that day. Got in the car. We went up there. My siblings were there. My mom was there, and we just had the best day with him. He wanted us to sit around and talk to him and visit. After lunch, my mom and my siblings left to go run an errand, and I just felt in my spirit something was up, and I started getting excited. And I realized, oh my gosh, I've got some time alone with my dad, and he feels good. The man's on hospice, and here he is feeling good. And I said, Dad, what are you thinking about? And he said, I don't know, what are you thinking about? And we had this billboard up with a lot of pictures, you know, of all the family. And my dad had joined the service at age 17. His parents, he grew up post-depression. His dad had lost the family farm. They had lived with relatives. At age 17, he joined the military, got a second job, and bought them a home. Now, my baby is 18. I can't imagine him having to do that. So I'm looking at this young man, very young, in his military uniform, and I said, I'm thinking about this guy right here. And he goes, you are? And I said, yes. I said, Daddy, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of how you have fought this fight all these years with this Parkinson's. He goes, you are? And I said, yes. And y'all, I was able to look him in the eye. We were sitting really close. And I said, I want to be more like you. I am so thankful out of all the dads in the world that God chose you to be my dad. And y'all, I feel like just generational chains got broke off through that. My dad's dad never told him he was proud of him. My dad never told me he was proud of me. To have the love and freedom to turn around and say, I am proud of you, before he was sent off was just such a gift. Talking about quality time on steroids, it was just, oh. So I want to say, wherever you may be in a relationship, I really think God is about taking his time and redeeming over time what he wants to say to us and convey to us. And I thought it was so ironic that Bill, when they started teaching Psalms 1, you know, that's the one about the tree. And I remember the sermon, because I already knew I was going to do this talk and talk about trees. He said the tree did not choose where it was planted. God chose where he was going to plant that tree. And I think he wants us to all know he's sovereign over that. He planted me in that family. He knew there were going to be troubles, just like my children are having troubles with the way I have failed, or with my issues not parented perfectly. This isn't about that. It's about knowing that God's in these places where we're challenged and life events happen. the scripture in Psalms 1 is, man is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and it does not wither. In all it does, it prospers. I think that is just amazing. We watch trees wither every winter. He's saying we have that option to not wither when we're walking through the loss of a loved one, that he's there with us. And I'm just so thankful. This is like a bedrock, a signpost I have for the rest of my life of how gracious and loving our God is in these places that I didn't have what it took to love my dad like that. He gave me that. So thank y'all for listening. I just wanted to share the beauty of what he did with redeeming this time for me.